Well, we're a little late on uploading, but what are you gonna do? It's Thursday for the juice. Filming this before the shit fest we're all about to witness on Thursday Night Football with the Bears playing the Commanders. I don't think you could have a more boring matchup between two teams than the Commanders and the Bears. The Commanders are a okay team, but it's still the Commanders, just one of the more below average franchises in NFL history, and then the Bears are the Bears. So I don't know. I can't say I'm looking forward to Thursday Night Football, but it's football. I'm a football fan. I'm gonna watch it. So this is gonna be kind of a short podcast. I don't know. We'll see how the time goes, see how much I ramble, but I'll do a couple segments here. I'm gonna talk about the Broncos and Sean Payton. I'm going to talk a little bit about who I'd pick for the MVP, maybe a little Packers talk, and then I'm going to read some ESPN headlines. Maybe it won't be a short podcast. We'll see. Let's start with the Broncos. So the Broncos are just got their first win of the season, came back against the Bears on Sunday in a matchup between the NFL's two worst teams. I'm going to be honest. I love that the Broncos suck. I really do. And it's nothing against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, Wisconsin alum, one of my favorite college athletes to ever live. It might be number one. And he's kind of lost his good reputation these last couple of years, teammates saying that they don't like him, and all the corny shit that he's done since he's been on the Broncos. But whatever the case may be, it's nothing against Russell Wilson. It's everything against Sean Payton. This guy, I don't think I've ever seen a coach in any sport with as big of a head as Sean Payton, especially when people fail to realize that Sean Payton is one of the most overrated head coaches in NFL history. You ask anyone around the NFL. What do you think of Sean Payton? Oh, brilliant offensive mind. That guy wins football games. You saw what he did with the Saints, coached them for a really long time. Won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees, had a lot of 10-win seasons. That's all good and well, but he goes to the Broncos, and I think people overhyped that decision just a tad. But what made the situation even worse in my eyes was the comments he made about Nathaniel Hackett and how the Broncos ran things the year before. Now, I'll get it. I get it. Nathaniel Hackett was a horrible head coach. He should never be a head coach. In fact, he, judging by how the Jets are going right now, they had a nice performance on Sunday, but he shouldn't even be a coordinator. He's literally the only reason he has like a established name in the NFL is because of Aaron Rodgers. But so Sean Payton made those comments, said that the Broncos, I don't know the exact quote, but he essentially said the Broncos were, this was a horrible coaching job that they had to deal with last year. Essentially took all the blame away from Russell Wilson, put it on Nathaniel Hackett. Sean Payton, and then oh, and then on top of that, the comments he made about preseason, like, oh, no players can take their uniforms off, no bucket hats, no sunglasses on the sidelines, no interviews on the sidelines, can't do that. Basically, what I got, the vibe I got off Sean Payton was that he was preaching all of his coaching techniques and he's preaching his brash personality to the entire world. And, saying, this is how I run things as a head coach. You guys forgot that I was a damn good head coach back in, a couple of years ago when I was coaching the Saints in 2021, took a year off and then, was an analyst, not a very good analyst, to be perfectly honest. Then now he's at the Broncos and he's 1-3 and he's got the second worst team in football. This is the problem I have with Sean Payton. So again, I told everyone just a couple of minutes ago about his reputation around the league. There's a coach that I'm thinking about that is very comparable to Sean Payton that does not have a good reputation around the league. Mike McCarthy. And both of their coaching careers are very, very similar. So Mike McCarthy started coaching the Packers in 2006, Sean Payton started the coach in the Saints in 2006. Both of them then got, earlier in their careers, Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. So, actually, first 2 years of Mike McCarthy's career, you got Brett Favre and then got Aaron Rodgers, so he kind of got lucky twice. But if you look at their careers, so Mike McCarthy, so their records currently, as they stand today, Sean Payton is 245, 100, no, Sean Payton is 153 and 92. Mike McCarthy is 158 and 98. So, very, pretty much identical records. Mike McCarthy has five more wins. Sean Payton has six less losses. So, you can't really. So, I bet if you ask anyone around the NFL and anyone in, media in the NFL, they would say Sean Payton historically is a better coach than Mike McCarthy because, Mike McCarthy inherited maybe the greatest quarterback talent we've ever seen. And, Sean Payton, he's such a good offensive mind. Okay, well, first off, let's look at this. Let's look at all of their. Let's look at Green Bay and just New Orleans, just for a second. Let's not talk about Dallas yet. So Green Bay, they're. Let's look at their worst seasons with Mike McCarthy. So 2018, Mike McCarthy was fired week 13. Mike McCarthy went 4-7-1 that year. Aaron Rodgers had a knee injury that literally would that it literally is season ending for any other player. Like that clearly affected Aaron Rodgers. He was immobile for the rest of the season. 4-7-1. Not a huge knock on the McCarthy career. 2017. He went 7-9. Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone in week five, I believe, or week four. Was out for pretty much the whole season, came back for a game, and they were already out of the playoffs. And so that was done. 2016, 10-6, NFC Championship. 2015, 10-6, won a playoff game. 2014, 12-4, NFC Championship. Then you look at 2013. The Packers won 8-7-1, made the playoffs. And again, bad record, broke his collarbone. From 2012 to 2009, 10 win seasons every year. Sean Payton, very similar. He has, if I see this correctly, 8 10 win seasons. Mike McCarthy, if we're not including the Dallas years, has 8 10 win seasons. So same exact amount of 10 win seasons. And the only reason he didn't have more winning seasons is because Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Let's look at Sean Payton with Drew Brees. 2014 to 2016, 3 seasons, he went 7-9 with Drew Brees. And Drew Brees never got injured. Drew Brees was an Iron Man. I mean, I'll fact check myself on that, but I'm very certain that Drew Brees did not get hurt from 2014 to 2016. No, he played 16 games, 15 games, 16 games. All of his years with Sean Payton, he never had a really bad injury until the last 2 years of his career when he was old. And even then, he only missed 5 games each for those last 2 seasons in Drew Brees' career. So you look at this, like Mike McCarthy, they both had Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Sean Payton got more out of his Hall of Fame quarterback in terms of staying healthy. And he's got all these losing seasons. All of Mike McCarthy's losing seasons, you can at least say Aaron Rodgers was hurt. He had a losing season in 2008, Aaron Rodgers' first year as a starter. First year coaching, he went 8-8. And then the rest of the way, all of his losing seasons, even if you include that, and then he had one losing season with Dallas, but we're not really talking about that right now. All of them were when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And I'm not saying Mike McCarthy's this great coach because your team shouldn't completely implode when you lose your quarterback if you're an actually really great coach. Obviously, everyone knows Aaron Rodgers had more to do with that with the Packers' success than Mike McCarthy did. But Sean Payton, what the hell do you, who the hell do you think you are? Who the hell does the media think Sean Payton is? Sean Payton literally has done nothing really, really successful outside of a Super Bowl and having a really cool playbook. Oh, Sean Payton, the offensive genius, him and Drew Brees, they built that offense together. I mean, Sean Payton, I mean, what a guy, what a coach. I mean, you look at Mike McCarthy, a guy that nobody likes in the NFL in terms of like the great head coaches. I bet you could say this right now. Dallas is, since Mike McCarthy's been the head coach, 6-10, 12-5, 12-5. Right now they're 3-1, easily a top five team in the NFL. Sean Payton, the second he left Drew Brees, oh, it's a dumpster fire. And he's got Russell Wilson. I'll admit Russell Wilson looks better this year with Sean Payton, but not a very high bar. Last year with Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson was a bottom 10 quarterback in the NFL. I'm sorry, but like, Sean Payton, to me, comes off as kind of a dick. And an even bigger dick when you look at the history of his coaching. He's a good head coach. He won a Super Bowl. That's hard. But so did Mike McCarthy. And right now, Mike McCarthy is running a pretty tight ship in Dallas. Now, he just took over play calling duties, and it doesn't look as good as it did with Kellen Moore last year. But I'll tell you, it's looking a hell of a lot better than it is in Denver right now. Hell, Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton are the same age. God damn, these guys are fucking similar. They both start at 43. Wow. I mean, jeez. I mean, it's very hard not to compare these two. And you look at the resumes, Mike McCarthy's is better. His is better. His losing seasons are only when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. Sean Payton, from 2014 to 2016, three straight 7-9 seasons. Drew Brees was fully healthy there. You still ran a hell of an offense, didn't you, Sean? And what did that, and, you know, what has this gotten Sean Payton too? He's now a 1-3 head coach with one of the worst teams in the NFL after talking all that shit. Oh man, I run such a tight ship here. Things are going to be different than they were with Nathaniel Hackett, I'll tell you that much. Nope. Sean, it's actually worse because by week four, at least Nate Hackett can say he was 2-2. You're 1-3. Your team sucks. And I know you're listening, Sean. Your team sucks. And you suck. You suck. You're not going to get fired midseason, but you fucking sure as hell should be. If your name wasn't Sean Payton, you'd be fired midseason. This is a joke. And you're a joke. Man, that was great. That was great. I hope everyone listens to what I was just saying about Sean Payton. Sean Payton is Mike McCarthy. In fact, Mike McCarthy is better. Sean Payton talking all that shit, and he's not even better than Mike McCarthy. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's talk about the Packer game for a second here. That was bad. Last Thursday, played the Lions, got their doors blown off, lost by 14, but the game was pretty much sealed by the second half. They made kind of a run, but you know, couldn't get a stop. This is not surprising to me, really, with the way this game went. I mean, I was angry, but a lot of times when the Packers lost with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of times it was like, you know, I was used to a lot of winning. So whenever shit hit the fan and, you know, they played a bad game, it was like something fluky happened. Like this guy didn't play a good game. But towards the end of, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay and now with Jordan Love, it's just a lot of the same issues. And I'm putting Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers together. At least, I mean, I'm, you know, putting together Aaron Rodgers last year in Green Bay, which was last year, and then Jordan Love right now. We've lost games because of shitty quarterback play. I'd say Jordan Love played pretty shitty on Thursday, and consistent poor run defense. This same shit has been happening, Matt LaFleur. You fired Mike Pettine. He had at least a couple top 12 defenses. Joe Barry can't even crack the top 20. He can't. Every year, They can't stop the run. They play way too soft on short yard situations. You got the players. You have arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. You have maybe one of the best, maybe the best middle linebacker tandem in Quay Walker and Devondre Campbell. Now, Devondre Campbell got injured, but these issues were happening with Devondre Campbell. You got Kenny Clark, maybe the one of the best interior D linemen in the NFL. You got Rashawn Gary, who's for some reason still on a pitch count. I don't know fucking why. He looks fantastic when he's out there. Keep him out there. He's not like David Bakhtiari. He doesn't worry about how his knees are feeling. He's out there to play. He's out there to win. You got Lucas Van Ness, who looks great. Preston Smith is always going to be solid. Great corners. Jaire, Rasul. Eric Stokes is coming back. Keyshawn Nixon's a fine nickel corner. Safeties are a little suspect, but hey, I like the way Darnell Savage is playing, and Rudy Ford, he's out there hitting people. I sound like a fucking, sound like a assistant coach at of my YMCA football team. I want to see people out there hitting people. That's what the Packers need right now. They need that assistant coach. They need that assistant coach to come into the locker room and say, "All I know is I don't see anyone hitting anyone." It's not certainly happening out there on the field. Matt LaFleur, you need to do something. You hire Joe Barry. He coached the 0-16 Detroit Lions. He's got that on his track record. This guy has never been good. He's never put a good defense out there in his 3 years here. And I'd hate to see if we had a good team. If we had a team with like a really good quarterback. I like Jordan Love. I mean, he's been very inconsistent this year, but this team ain't making the playoffs. If we had a good team, I would hate to see what happens in the playoffs. We would probably give up 300 yards on the ground, like we all fucking do. Very. It's frustrating. Especially like Matt LaFleur fired Mike Pettine, and you know. Like, oh, he had the balls to fire Mike Pettine. Oh, he didn't even fucking hire Mike Pettine. That's a guy. That's an easy guy you can fire, and he fired him after two top 12 seasons. But I was okay with it because while Mike Pettine was a fine defensive coordinator, we could have easily been better. But now, Joe Barry, with all this talent, even more talent than Mike Pettine had, is putting out worse defenses. And LaFleur still won't fire him. He was asked point blank at the end of the season last year, will there be a change at defensive coordinator? And he said, no, not necessary. It's fucking necessary. Very fucking necessary. It's frustrating watching the same shit happen in these big games, these primetime games, these playoff games. This team can't stop the run. And they're so soft. I don't know if it's ever going to get better. I don't know if Matt LaFleur will ever fire Joe Barry. I'd hope he if this shit continues, I'd hope he fires him at the end of the year. He should be fired right now. But Matt LaFleur doesn't have the balls to do that. And I love Matt LaFleur as a play caller. He is so smart. He knows how to call plays. But to me, that's all he's good for. I don't think he knows how to run a. I don't think he knows how to run a team. I don't think he's the type of guy that can walk into a locker room and command that locker room. The guy who he's never beaten, Dan Campbell, the guy who he can't beat, lost to the past four times. That guy knows how to run a fucking locker room. That guy knows how to get the most out of his guys. I don't know if Matt LaFleur can do that. I really don't know. Man, I mean, Jesus, we have brought this podcast up to 100. It's crazy. I mean, two passionate rants about two coaches that I absolutely despise, Sean Payton and Joe Barry, and a little bit of Matt LaFleur, but I did say I respect him as a play caller. Right, let's look at ESPN's top headlines. Mets GM Epler resigns. Clean slate for Stearns. That would be David Stearns, former Brewers front office man. Good for him. That's a lot of shit to clean up with the Mets. I do like David Stearns a lot. I think he's a hell of a talent evaluator. I think he's a hell of a team manager, and not like manager, but I think he knows how to put guys out there that, know how to hit the ball. But just kidding around. I like David Stearns a lot. Happy for him going to the Mets. Shitty situation. Got a lot of money. Hopefully he can get the best out of his guys, unlike some Packers head coaches. All right, NCAA allows UNC star wide receiver Walker to play in 2023. So, yeah, this guy, I forgot his name, Tez Walker. Yeah, he transferred from Kent State and was deemed ineligible because some really sad reason. I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I'm happy for Tez Walker. There's some more interesting headlines coming up here. LeBron won't play in the Lakers preseason opener. Okay. I don't know, LeBron. I think you need those reps. This one's interesting. So Joel Embiid says James Harden is not a distraction to the Sixers. Well, I'm telling you, James. I'm telling you, Joel. If you don't have James Harden, the Sixers are probably the fifth or sixth best team in the East. With James Harden, you should easily be top three. You should easily be a top three seed in the East with James Harden. It should always be the Celtics, the Bucks, and the Sixers. Now, I get the Celtics and the Bucks are kind of shying away from the Sixers, with the moves they've made. I haven't even talked about Damian Lillard coming to Milwaukee. How exciting is that? And then Jrue Holiday with the Celtics. Scary, scary. Hopefully we have a battle in the Eastern Conference Finals. But the Sixers should always be up there. You got the league MVP. You got James Harden. You got Tyrese Maxey. You should be there. If they don't have James Harden, I don't know what the hell they're gonna do, especially with the distraction. Apparently he'll show up for training camp. Will he show up to training camp in shape? Who knows? James Harden's a really, really weird guy. You never know what he wants. You never know if he's happy. So, I mean, I wouldn't. Since James Harden's been a Sixer, he's been a distraction. So I don't really know what Embiid's saying here. He's a distraction. All right. Jets want to get Hackett payback versus the Broncos. You're damn fucking right. Get Nathaniel Hackett some payback. Show Sean Payton that he's a piece of shit head coach. All right. Pat Fitzgerald suing Northwestern for $130 million for wrongful firing. Honestly, Pat Fitzgerald probably has a point here. I don't know what asshole ratted him out. There hazing goes on in every single fucking college. So who knows? But this is kind of interesting. Two headlines together. Mel Tucker is also probably going to do the same thing. I think he already has done the same thing. He got fired for sexual misconduct, I believe. It might have been a little worse than that, to be honest. But there's a letter sent to MSU from Mel Tucker alleging that there's new evidence. Again, all alleged. People say that. So yeah, it was sexual assault. The person who brought forth the claim was a speaker, was a sexual assault awareness speaker, Brenda Tracy. She says Mel Tucker appears to have made a career out of misleading and manipulating people. I don't know Mel Tucker personally, but the guy does seem like he's likes to intimidate people. He's a big personality, a guy that I'd be fairly scared of, and if I was playing for him, definitely would be scared of him. So this whole story is pretty wild, but I guess you gotta wait for this new evidence for that Mel Tucker came out saying. And then this is the last one I wanted to get into. So Brian Daboll says Evan Neal's comments were a poor decision. For people who don't know, Evan Neal said that responded to a reporter's question telling that said the fans are unhappy with his performance, to which Evan Neal said, "Lions don't respond to sheep." And who the hell are they? They're probably flipping burgers or hot dogs out somewhere. And A New York Giants radio person heard these comments and got so pissed. I think he said something along the lines of, "Who the hell do you think you are? We pay money out of our pockets to go watch you play shitty." And he went on a rant. I mean, he went on a rant for about 6 minutes on Evan Neal's comments. And the shit actually came out like very passionate and very like, he's got a fucking point here. He was getting really pissed off at an athlete, and if you look at that in a vacuum, you're like, okay, that's a little much. But what he said was like kind of true. Evan Neal's talking down to fans as if they're like nothing when they pay his fucking salary. And they pay him to play shitty. So no fucking wonder that fans, get so, passionate, especially like season ticket holders get so mad when their team stinks and they start booing at these games. I don't know. First of all, I don't know why people have such a big problem with that, like against fans booing and, their own team. Why fucking not? I paid good money to come to this game. I paid good money to come to this game, and you're putting a horrible product out on the field. And when the Packers lose, it like ruins my night. So if I'm going to a Packer game, haven't been to many, I've only been to two, believe it or not. But when I go there, I want to see a win, and I better not see anything less than your best effort because I paid money to watch you play. I was watching a tail off here for a little bit. I was watching the Lakers show on HBO Max called Winning Time. It's about the rise of the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers against, Celtics and Larry Bird and Kareem and Magic Johnson. And it's a great show. It's a really, really good show. There's two seasons, pretty easy to get into. 8 seasons an episode, I believe. Episodes are around 40 to an hour, 40 minutes to an hour. Really good show. And my favorite episode of the show was, I believe, the last, second to last episode when they're, setting up the Lakers meeting the Celtics in the finals for the first time. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's house burns down before the beginning of the season that would eventually lead to the Celtics and the Lakers playing in the finals that year. But before the first game, like right around there, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's house burns down. His house burns down, and he lost a lot of valuables in there. He lost a lot of his basketball valuables, and he also lost every single one of his albums. And he had a big jazz album collection, and he was Kareem. At least how he's portrayed in the show. Now the show kind of over-exaggerates how players acted, but whatever the case may be, Kareem in the show is very stoic, doesn't like to talk to fans that much, not really close with the fans. And so he goes into the locker room for the first game. And at this time, Kareem is kind of thinking about moving out of LA. He doesn't know if he likes it there. He wants to go to New York. And he goes in there, and right in the hallway, before he gets to the locker room, hundreds of fans are in there, and they all have albums to give to Kareem to replace his old album collection. And he sees a kid, and the kid gives him a great album, and he asks, "Who gave who, this album?" The kid goes, "Yeah, it's my father's. It's a favorite. It's his favorite." Said, "Your father's a wise man," and everyone just kind of puts their albums in Kareem's face, and Kareem's realizing, "Man, everyone in this place loves me." And then he goes into the locker room and he realizes, I belong in LA. I belong to these fans. And he gives a big speech to the whole entire team saying, I'm holding every single one of you accountable. These people pay to watch us play. We affect these people's lives. And they expect from each and every one of us to give our absolute best. Because I want to bring a parade back to the city. Very powerful scene. And then it goes into a montage of the entire season and then the playoffs. And the Celtics eventually meet up and in the finals. And Jerry Buss, the owner of the Lakers, gives a pep talk to the Lakers. And Red Auerbach, the GM of the Celtics at the time, gives a speech to the Celtics. And, a great scene. But this is, it's pretty fucking true. Fans, I've put my life into sports. A lot of football, a lot of basketball. I love sports. And when I watch my teams And I'll go back to the Packers. I mean, I don't pay much money to go to games, but I watch every single goddamn game. It's a big part of my entire life is Packer, Bucks, Badger, Brewer baseball. I mean, all of this means so much to me. And I got players sometimes not playing their best. I got players sitting out. Like, people say, like, players say, like, I don't care what the fans think. Oh, you damn well should, because again, we pay your salary. I mean, Jesus. All we want to see is some goddamn effort. And Evan Neal is playing like dog shit right now. So, yeah, you know what? I honestly think I'm gonna end on that. That was a great show. A lot of rants, a lot of anger, a lot of personality. You know, I think I'm getting rid of that segment where I go over every NFL line, because to be honest, I should probably put more research into that segment. I kind of just see the line and say, ah, oh, well, I guess I like this line. I guess I like that line. But yeah, I like that episode a lot. Hope to see you guys listen here next week. And thanks. Yeah, thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.